Hello, my name's Tim Donahue. I'm the director with the Eclectic Ensemble, which is the parent organization for Music of the Sun. I perform electric bass, electric dulcimer, and percussion during performances. I also manipulate a wide variety of electronic processing during performances as well.
I'm Charlie Hendrickson. I've been making music with Tim for a long time with the Eclectic Ensemble. I play violin and guitar, and I also delve into percussion and mouth harp and other little trinkets.
I'm John Vance. For these projects, I focus on synthesizers, other experimental sound makers, sound effects, samples, and that sort of thing.
The Eclectic Ensemble is a flexible music group that's capable of fitting into a wide variety of situations and is capable of providing a consistent sound. The style is typically considered ambient, also improvisational. It's a marriage of the two. A lot of real-time effects manipulation is an integral part of the sound, primarily looping pedals and delays. So the music that we perform is controlled improv. It could be anything from just a duet of myself and Charlie to a larger group that could be up to five musicians. Performance will start out where I call out a general direction, typically be a mood, a key, and we start moving from that point. And then as we're performing, I will call out turns and changes in the music as we're going along. It's a very spontaneous way of creating and composing. The music itself is very reflective of the environment that we're in. We very much pick up on the vibe and the energy that is present in that performance space at the time, and it is reflected by us.
Music of the Sun has done performances throughout the last two summers. Most of them are accessible via bike trail, because that's our mode of transportation. We load up the bike trailers with all our gear and the solar panels and the batteries, and we pedal out to our location. We usually will send out an email a couple of days or a week in advance to let people know when we're going to be performing. And it's all weather dependent because we only make music on sunny days. That's an integral part of Music of the Sun.
The PA system is solar powered. The whole rig, top to bottom, is solar powered. Everything from our effects pedals to the mixing console to the PA itself. We are traveling by bicycles and we're operating on minimum gear.
Well, there really isn't plug-in electricity available at the locations that we are traveling to and setting up. We also wanted to be untethered from having to consider that. You know, if you're completely self-contained and solar-powered or bike-powered, then you really can go anywhere, anywhere that you can haul the equipment to.
We're using two 60-watt panels and going to typically a single 45-amp-hour 12-volt battery. And between the panels and the battery, we've got enough power to last for at least an hour. If it's a nice day out and we're not getting obscured by leaves or clouds or anything like that, we could potentially go indefinitely. During the peak summer, when the sun is highest in the sky, it's incredible the amount of power that we can generate. And then on the other side of that, in the fall, it's equally as shocking how quickly our battery can peter out on us.
We've been performing the Music of the Sun shows all over kind of the inner Minneapolis metro area. We've performed along the Greenway bike path. We performed on the Martin Sabo Bridge that goes over Hiawatha, the Stone Arch Bridge near the Lock and Dam, and the Gold Medal Park.
One of my favorite locations is the channel in between Lake Calhoun and Lake of the Isles. There's a little grassy area that's kind of tucked away. And typically our audience is cyclists and just people strolling about through parks. When we play there, it's folks on watercraft. I mean, it's all kinds of floating devices, and they've got these surfboards now.
Paddle boards.
Yep.
I think it's interesting, the audience that shows up at the gigs. We may pick a target location, but we really don't know who's going to be there, if there's going to be already events, or if the weather is going to drive who shows up or not. It's spontaneous in that sense as well. So we don't know what to expect. You know, we're just out there to give it to who's ever going to receive it.
Yeah, we try and create a soundscape for the setting. Sometimes people are just attracted to the solar power. I mean, we get a lot of questions about that, and that's part of the reason we're out there too, because we're out there trying to demonstrate to people that doesn't take a lot of money, which we don't have, and it doesn't take a lot of brains. You know, it's like anybody can do this. You know, the technology is here now. We actually have the solutions we need right now to really turn this world around, and that is a huge motivation.
The more that we play in these different contexts, I think we're getting a lot better at sort of tuning into each other as performers, and tuning into the environment and the people, the energy that's around us.
this year, the closing performance for us was at Minnehaha Falls, and I was listening to the music, and it's quite jovial. And it really reminds me of how there was people having a good time with picnics and pedaling through. And it's very easy for me to remember how much energy there was around us.
Yes, yes.
It's not just us in our heads. It's us opening up, and we are a reflection of what's going on around us. A real interesting thing with our audience is how diverse it is. And we, in any given performance, you see a lot of cyclists and you see a lot of walkers and hikers. And it's so interesting how it spans every generation, everything from infants to people with silver hair. We see all the ethnic groups that you'd expect here in Minneapolis, and it's such an interesting group, the community that uses the parks and the trails. And one of my favorite things about this community is people are smiling. People are happy. And our audience is just, at least during the time that we share with them, it's a very positive group of people and it's a very positive experience. And that's one of the strongest motivators for me to, you know, rush back from work, pack up the trailers, and haul 150 pounds down the trail. It's like, hey, where else would I want to be when the sun's shining and playing music to this incredible group of people?
One of the motivations for us to be doing this Music of the Sun project is to take everything into our own hands. Our power, our venues, you know, we don't have to go through booking agents or play at a bar or a theater or anything. And, you know, everybody's out there doing leisure activities and they're enjoying themselves and we become a part of that. You know, we're not in a dark club trying to prove ourselves and people are trying to figure out if we're cool or not. You know, it's just, it's a very open-minded kind of environment.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. And everything is okay.
They were so funny, these guys, that they didn't even know what to do.
A very important aspect of Music of the Sun is that I want this project to be spontaneous and I don't want it to be another item clamoring for people's time. All three of us have got other music projects that we do and there's a whole process. You've got your email list and all these people, come on out, come on, do this and this. And it's very important to me that people find Music of the Sun on their time, no to low pressure environment. Promoting these gigs is a little bit challenging because it is very much spontaneous. And when it's all done and said, it's pretty much a simple announcement of Music of the Sun will be at this location at this time. Hope to see you there.
In many ways, the Music of the Sun project is sort of timely because with Facebook and other social media, it's a very immediate sort of thing. You know, you don't have to plan in advance or look at the calendar or buy tickets or, you know, you might just get a quick tweet or you might be checking your Facebook and in the feed you see, oh, Music of the Sun is performing today.
The surprise factor is one of the funnest parts of this. I can't tell you how many times people will stop and gawk. There's been times where I've heard tires squeal because people slam on their brakes so hard. It's one of my favorite things is just the surprise element that people don't expect it. The encounter can last 10, 15, 20 seconds, and that's it. But the shock and the surprise and the joy that you can see in their face, because when people ride by, they'll stick their fists up in the air and shout, yes, or give us a big thumbs up. And you know that it's like, hey, we just made this guy's day, you know? I think people get more excited about Minneapolis when they experience stuff like this. I can't help but think that we're just like this nice little secret part of Minneapolis where people are like, you know, I just love living here. I saw this strange music group that's solar powered in the park today. Where else are you gonna find that?
We've got a lot of bike trails in this city. I mean, we were just voted the number one bike-friendly city in the nation, and people know it, and people take advantage of that, and we're out there taking advantage of it ourselves. There's a great appreciation for that in this city.
As with other elements of the project, even the way we approach some of the more structured elements is spontaneous. It's rare that we have gotten prepared a week in advance where we have all the keys picked out and we know what the cues are going to be. I think a lot of times what will happen is, you know, Tim will bring sort of a bag of tricks of direction, and sometimes we use it and sometimes we don't.
For performances, I do show up with a bag of tricks. It's one of those things that once a performance does get up and starts going, that it does kind of direct itself to a certain degree. We approach the keys and the chords that we use more from an emotional angle.
I think one of the challenges of improvisation in general is, as a performer, to be challenged and to have the language with the other performers to be fresh. And the fact that we have these spontaneous locations and we're mobile and, you know, we don't know what the context is going to be, what the energy is going to be like, it adds that extra freshness, I think, to the improvisational element.
A lot of my direction is tied into the fact that I'm also mixing the show. All performers go into a small mixer that I have in front of me. And on that mixer, I have two auxiliary sends that go to different effects chains. Those are my looping pedals, my reverbs, and choruses, all that fun stuff. All of a sudden, you could have a pretty intense, tight, interlocking groove that I will pull down and have it, all of a sudden it's all reverbed, you know, and it kind of sounds like it's distant all of a sudden. Sometimes my direction focuses more on, you know, I'll start to fade out musicians. I'll give them, there's a lot of hand gestures and cues that we do that'll let them know to kind of fade out. There's also cues and signals for continue to repeat your idea, and they also know that that means that Tim is looping me and I gotta stay rock solid right now. And shortly after that, their ears will detect, I'm looped, there we go, I'm good. And it is our experience together. We've been playing together for a very long time. It's very conversational how we work. We've got a language that we've developed, and we know how to respond and react to a lot of the musical situations that we do create.
I think Tim is, you know, as a director and also as a performer, one of his main musical instrument is the mixing board and sort of his outboard effect. You know, he is shaping that and he is sort of reacting to what we're doing and stringing it all together into something that's more meaningful. And in turn, you know, we're monitoring his mix and that's helping us, you know, tune into where we're going overall.
There has definitely been a refinement and development in our sound over this past season. And what I've been noticing is that I am stepping much more so into this, my instrument, the mixing console and the effects. And Charlie or John or some of the other musicians that we work with, they'll respond to how I'm manipulating their signal. And it's this, it's a very exciting call and response type interaction between musicians. One of the concepts and one of the main points is the freedom that it gives us. The type of music that we play fits best out in the woods, in the parks, out in these open areas. It's music that serves to enhance an experience and be part of a greater event. So to have the ability to go out and perform in these places that we love to be in is fantastic. The freedom that it gives us is just inspiring. It's very artistically inspiring.
Miniculture on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.